I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and I really do hope that you were either here this past Sunday, or at least you watched the message online, because I love Easter weekend. It is my favorite weekend of the year, and last weekend we started this new series called Alive and Free. We're pausing our series on the study of the life of David, and we'll get back into that later in June. But the idea behind this series that we started last week is that Jesus' resurrection, his life, doesn't just save us from our sins, but he breaks all of the chains, all of the bondage that holds us down that we have lived in. In other words, he didn't just say to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." He also said, "Lazarus, get out of the grave clothes." So for the next few weeks, we're going to consider how the resurrection of Jesus can set us free from some of the things in the past that have enslaved us. I love preaching about the resurrection. And Easter weekend really is my favorite weekend of the year. I think, honestly, the second greatest weekend of the year for a lot of folks, including myself for many years, although I haven't had a lot of opportunity these past few years. But for many, it's opening day of baseball. And if you are a Cubs fan, like myself, you are looking forward to opening day next year. I actually love baseball. I like football a lot as well. And the two games are very different. Football is played on a gridiron. Baseball is played in a park. Doesn't that sound like a lot more fun? In football, you wear a helmet, but in baseball, you get to wear a cap. In football, a specialist comes in to kick something, but in baseball, a specialist comes in to relieve somebody. Doesn't that sound nicer? In football, you give somebody a stiff arm. In baseball, you get to slide. And that's a lot more fun. But the biggest difference between the two games is that football has a very military objective. You have the quarterback, who is the field general, down in the trenches, seeking to evade the blitz, softening up the enemy lines with pounding ground attacks, aerial bombardments. He's throwing bullet passes, occasionally going for the bomb, all so that he can penetrate the enemy defense and reach the end zone. In baseball, the object is to go home. That's a beautiful thing. And I believe much of the groaning and the frustration that we experience in this world that we're not even able to articulate at times is an unconscious homesickness. We often don't notice, but some of the very first words that God said to man in the garden were, "You are free. You are free to eat of anything in here." Now, he gave them one limit, and we'll talk about that, but we focus on the limit and we forget the first part, which is the most important part. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free." See, write this down. God created us to live home free. And right now we don't. And that's why Easter matters. Because the resurrection of Jesus is heaven's announcement on earth that things will be right again someday. But it is also heaven's promise and heaven's power that we can start being who we were created to be right now. In other words, someday we know that with the return of Jesus Christ, this whole creation will experience liberation. But we can start experiencing freedom now. We can begin heading home free. But there's a couple of traps that keep us stuck. And I want to share some of those with you before we begin. First, I think some of us decide that bondage isn't real. We deny that it exists. And the hardest chains to break are the ones never acknowledged. And many years in ministry have taught me that when someone says to me, "I don't have a problem," there is almost always a problem. And the path to freedom must include ruthless personal honesty. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Friend, you cannot get where you want to be if you will not admit where you are. So the next week, next Sunday, we're going to have a time that you can write on a card something where you would like to experience more freedom. And here's the thing, oftentimes we cannot see it. We need the Holy Spirit to help reveal to us what it is, because life has taught us to be blind to and to be numb to our bondage so that we can cope with it. So this next week, I'm very serious. I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to pray, "Lord, would you please reveal to me an area in my life where I am dealing with bondage that I might not even be aware of?" And that might be where you are. But my guess is that most of you are in a different place. For most of you, the issue is not the necessity of freedom. The issue is the possibility of freedom, which is the second trap. We believe that freedom isn't possible, because you have tried to break free. You have tried to stop losing your temper. You have tried to stop worrying so much. You've tried to stop being such a people pleaser. And so you exchange "try hard and fail" for "stop and fake it." And for you, the trap is deciding that freedom doesn't exist. We live in a world where decay seems to rule the day, that fourth day world. And in such a world, it is hard not just to lower our expectations and just say, "You know what, bondage is normal." So we talk about freedom, but we just don't really think it's real. In the state of New Hampshire, their license plate have emblazoned on all of their plates, printed, "Live free or die." That's the famous motto from the famous Revolutionary War hero John Stark. The irony is that every license plate that has that phrase printed on it was made by an inmate in prison. We proclaim freedom, we just don't think it's real. So we receive salvation, we're going to go to heaven, but we choose to walk through hell. And we just shuffle through life in our grave clothes. But Jesus did not say, "I will be the resurrection and the life." He said, "Resurrection and the life." And if that is true, then while we wait for his return, we do not have to wait in a cell. The risen Christ in us is greater than anything that is on us. And it's hard for us to believe this. I understand that. Even the Apostle Paul said, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." And then he asked that wonderful question in Romans 7. "Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I believe that. I believe the God who loves you where you are loves you too much to let you stay there, because he created you to become home free. And this God is greater than any stone, than any locked door, than any chain. and we can get home free, but we have to admit that we are not fully home and we are not fully free. And that's where a story that Jesus told helps us very much. He shared of a father who had two boys. And the youngest one came to him and said, "Could I have my inheritance now?" And that is a stunning request. It was an insult. He was basically saying, "Dad, you're not dead soon enough." And even more stunning is that the father granted the request. He gave him the deed to his property. Well, you can't buy beer with a deed. So that boy took that land that had been in that family for generations and he sold it for cash. And he took off to the border. And everybody knows what a young boy with a lot of cash heading to the border is going to do. And he did it. He was the life of the party. He was a popular young man until the money ran out. By the way, one thing I have noticed is that when the money runs out, the friends run off. And he has nothing. And he has to do what was to his culture the greatest indignity, to work in the mud with pigs. Bondage. But then the story takes a turn. Read with me in Luke 15, beginning in verse 17, it says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. And he started the trip that every person I have ever known that found freedom has made. It was because of three different decisions that he made. The first was that he started thinking straight." Jesus said he came to his senses. And that is so big because the battle for freedom has to be won in the mind. The enemy is a deceiver. He is a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. And the way he gets us to exchange our freedom for bondage is to deceive us. That's why Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Because behind every bondage is a lie. Now, this is so huge. And I'm going to spend an entire sermon on this next week, and I am giving no excused absences. You have to hear this teaching. Because what we want to do when we find someone in bondage is address behavior. And we don't realize behavior is motivated by a lie. And until you have a breakthrough, there will never be a breakout. For example, the workaholic man who is never around his family is who he is because of what he believes. He bought the lie that what he has is who he is. So you can change his behavior. You can tell him to go home at 5 o'clock every day, but he will not really be home. He will still be on his phone. He will still be checking his email. He will still be mentally somewhere else. That's because he is in bondage due to a lie. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first part of verse 25, to gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Now, listen, a lot of people oppose the truth and they don't even know that they are doing it. They're not being belligerent. They're just living contrary to the truth and don't even know that they're actually doing that. That's because the lie has so possessed their thinking. Look at how he continues and we'll see the result of getting your thinking straight. Paul continues the latter part of verse 25. He says, "Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth." Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. How is Satan putting people in bondage? He is messing up their thinking. And there is no lie with which he has enslaved more people than the lie, I'm missing something because I can't fill in the blank. It was the original lie that caused our original parents to lose their original home. Satan wants us to believe that a life of obedience to God leads to a life of lack. That God is holding out on us. And the path to bondage always starts with the pursuit of a perceived need. And Satan gives us these brochures of the far country. And they are glossy, and they look so good, but they lie. Because they never show you the end of the trip. And almost all of us have known the grief of somebody that we loved that started down a path that only ends in bondage. And we knew where that road was going to lead them, but we could not stop them from going down that road because their thinking wasn't right. And so, recovery groups say they need to hit bottom, which can be a good thing because sometimes it can jar your mind. And when you start thinking straight, you stop making excuses, which is the second thing. This young man stopped making excuses. He didn't blame anyone or anything. He went home prepared to say those words, "I have sinned." And if you are in bondage, you are probably very fluent at excusing by accusing. You are very good at explaining your bondage because of someone else or something out there. This boy could have blamed his older brother for being such a self-righteous hypocrite. He could have blamed his dad for not giving him more of the estate. He could have blamed his friends for running off when he ran out of money. He could have blamed God for letting there be a famine that messes up the whole economy. But when he got his thinking straight, he looked straight in the mirror and admitted he has a problem. Now listen to me. You cannot blame your way to freedom. Because at its core, write this down, freedom is an inside job. That's why Paul and Silas could be in a prison cell in Philippi in chains and still be more free than the jailer who was watching them. It is a lie to say, if somebody would just fix that, if somebody would just fix them, then I would not. No. Because freedom is not a change of your circumstances as much as it is the capacity to be who God created you to be regardless of your circumstances. You can be free from fear regardless of whether or not the cancer goes into remission. You can be free from worry no matter what this economy does. You can be free from bitterness, whether or not the person that hurt you ever gives you an apology. But Satan will always provide you with a reason to stay imprisoned. So you can just sit there and nurse your bondage, and curse your bondage, and rehearse your bondage to whoever will listen. But after a while, people will get tired of listening. Or you can reverse your bondage. Like this young man that Jesus told us about. I don't have to stay here. The text says, so he got up. That young man decided that the reality of his present did not have to be the only possibility for his future. I used to watch a show back in the day called Mythbusters. Love that show. I remember one of the shows in particular where they went and got these old dogs. They were Alaskan Malamutes, who are notorious for being very stubborn dogs. They were older dogs. And in just 4 days, they had these old dogs sitting, shaking, lying down, rolling over, and they busted the myth that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. See, you can. No matter how long you have been there, you do not have to stay there. The way things are do not have to be the way things stay if Jesus really is the resurrection and the life. And notice that boy Jesus talked about did not get all cleaned up first. Jesus did not say, "Come to me, all who have their act together." So I'll say it again. You don't get free and come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and you get free. So why do people stay stuck? Why do saved people who have been brought from deadness of their sins into life in Jesus, they're going to heaven, why do they live stuck in the mud? There could be a lot of reasons, but I think the chief reason is this. That if you have been in prison a long time, you start to think that where you are is who you are. I've just always had a bad temper. Well, my family's always had this problem. I've just always struggled with lust. There's nothing that I can do about this. It's just who I am. And the world will give you a label. By the way, sadly, Christians do the same thing. Have you ever noticed that we typically label people by what they were more than who they are? In fact, we don't even call the very parable we're looking at the parable of the son who came home. We call it the parable of the prodigal. We don't call her the woman who was forgiven by Jesus. We call her the woman who was caught in adultery. And so we live with these labels. And we let where we are become who we are. But the gospel is more powerful than labels. And the gospel invites every prisoner to come home to a father who is waiting to provide everything that that lie could not. So let's let Jesus finish our story. He continues, but while he was still a long way off, and you kind of got to pause there because he was a long way off from where he needed to be. He was a long way off from who he needed to be. He was a long way off from what the Father had prayed he would be since he was a baby. He was a long way off. But the Father saw him. His Father was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. And you know what I've learned? Most people in bondage don't give up believing in God. They believe the lie that God has given up on them. Even this boy on his way back still is thinking like a slave. So here's freedom's very first step. And I don't know what your bondage is. I don't know where your struggle may be. But what I do know is this. The first step to freedom is claiming your true identity. Because who you think you are in the present is going to affect where you wind up in the future. I love the story I heard about J.J. Watt. was a defensive end for the Arizona Cardinals, but most of all, played for the Houston Texans. Now, a man like J.J. Watt is used to people coming up to him, handing him things so that he can sign them. But while he was with the Texans in 2014, he received a package in the mail, and in the package was a letter and a jersey from 7-year-old Anthony Tarantelli. Anthony loves to play football, and he's actually pretty good at it for his age. And he wrote on the letter, "I'm sending you my autographed jersey so you will know who I am when I'm a famous football player." And I love that. I love the idea that who you think you are determines where you think you're going to go. Let the Father tell you who you are. You are not who you used to be. And that's really hard for us to believe. It is a huge faith step that at times the Holy Spirit has to help us take. Because we want to think, that's where I've been, that's what I've done, that's who I am. No, you are not who you used to be. You are who God is recreating you in Jesus Christ to be. So really, at some level, we need to stop trying to fix who we were, and we need to start releasing who we are. God is doing a work in us that is more powerful than any chain that can bind us. And we need to claim that by faith and start to walk like a free person. You and I have walked up to stores where there are electronic doors. And as you walk toward those doors, they're closed. But as you walk in faith closer and closer to that door, they will open up for you. And if you are a 51-year-old man like me, you pretend you have the force, like a Jedi, to open them. But those doors will open up as you walk in faith toward them. And you can do that. You can begin in the Spirit's power to walk consistent with who God says you are and not what bondage says you used to be. Because God is not just wanting us home, He's wanting us home free. And when you get a sense of who He really is, you're not going to stay where you are. Stand up, I want to pray over you. As you are prayerfully coming before the Lord right now, I want you to just in your mind, what is it the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you right now? What is it that God is wanting you to hear right now that can help you come to your senses? Father God, help those who are here today to be moved to make the hardest step of freedom today, the very first one. Help those of us sitting here not let this be a message for someone else. Let this be a message for me. Help me, God, to finally come to my senses. I pray this in Jesus' name.